Ah, you know what old Jack
Mangan
always says at a time like this?
Who?
Jack
Mangan.
Me. Old Jack always says.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. Fuckers.
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager. You can find the abstract, listening to hip hop. My pops used to say it reminded him of bebop.
Hey, and welcome to Deadpan number 147. I'm your host, Jack Mangan. But just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel. Not a whole lot to report here for this episode. It's just number 147. We've got a new Duel of the Fates tonight between Rorschach of Watchmen and Otto from Repo Man. Plus some other stuff. I actually have the very last, an old bit of content that the Energizer Bunny sent me that I'm finally airing now, or potting now, so to speak. And so pretty much right after this episode, we'll be staring into the yawning, empty chasm of no contributions. So please feel free to send me. It is the end of the year, so there was some talk today on the comments board about your recollections for the past year, you know, like your favorite books or favorite movies or favorite boogers or favorite... No. Let me take that. No. But yeah, favorite stuff of the past year. And what the hell, you know, whatever. You can take that and run with it. Or you can just go classic and share some funny stories or favorite song lyrics. Or even poignant song memories. Or, I don't know. All right, this is why I never want the intro babble to go for too long.
So you want to know what this Twitter thing is all about, do you? Give me 10 minutes and I'll give you the lowdown on this 140-character craze Time Magazine calls the latest innovation in communication. Hi, I'm T. Morris, and I host Birdhouse Rules, the official podcast of Q's Publishing, All a Twitter, and Sam's Teach Yourself Twitter in 10 Minutes, both available in bookstores everywhere. The Birdhouse Rules keeps you in the know on hot topics, helpful tools, and latest upgrades in the Twitterverse. So wipe your feet at the door, don't even think about changing the channel on the plasma, and come on, no DMing from the dinner table. It's my house, my rules. Birdhouse Rules. Subscribe on iTunes or at birdhouserules.com.
You are listening to Jack Mangan's podcast show. Deadpan is the way.
Hello, Deadpan. This is the Energizer Bunny. I just came back from grocery shopping, and just because, I'm going to tell you what I bought as I unpack it. There's actually a lot of groceries here because this is the first shopping I've done since I got back from Arizona last week. I wasn't 100%, so I'm making up for it this week, so I do fully expect this to get sliced and diced and chopped and julienned and whatever else Jack likes to do with it, which is fine. I spent gross amounts of money. And you're going to hear background noises. I have my back door open to let a little fresh air in the house. Big things, pop, water, bathroom tissue, kitty litter, the normal. And we'll start with this bag here. Hopefully my microphone cable's long enough to follow me around the kitchen. I have a chili pepper. I'm going to make some chili this week. A little tip I learned fairly recently, actually, is there's a brewery here called Big Rock, and they make light beer. And I found out if you throw that in your chili, it tastes quite interesting. I did that last time I made chili, and hubby approved, so I'm going to do it this time. Celery also goes in the fridge, so you're going to hear my fridge noises and my cupboard noises. And, ooh, plums. Please don't touch me, plums. Potatoes. I think I'll make some potato skins for lunch today. Some margarine and some cheese. Also goes in the refrigerator, and that's that bag. This bag has a ladle. My kitchenware seems to have gone missing. I think my boo took a bunch of it when she moved out. And dish soap, mouthwash. Oh, and razor blades for both myself and my husband. We both needed razor blades.
In Soviet Russia, the deadpan downloads you.
All right, so I lied, because we actually also have this segment, which first aired, or podded, on the Requiem of the Outcast podcast, the long-running show, which now actually, Rich Siegfried has been there from the beginning, but now actually features Christiana Ellis, the lovely and talented and witty and smart and funny Christiana Ellis, as Rich is all those things too. But anyway, they worked with me on this skit and did a fantastic job. I mean, their voices, they are absolutely hilarious people. I highly recommend that show. But anyway, without further ado, here's the orc skit. Welcome. We're here today with two representatives from the organization Orcs and Goblinoids United for Change, which actually anagrams to Ogufk, but which they somehow think anagrams out to be Orcs Rule. These disgruntled fellows have joined us on our program to discuss the degrading stereotypes with which they feel their orcish race has been negatively portrayed in fantasy film, literature, and games. Is there merit to their complaints? Are fantasy authors, game makers, and filmmakers giving orcs a raw deal? From left to right, I'd like to introduce my guests who've come here for serious discussion, Mr. Zignar Snotball and Gakko Spike Scrotum Onassis. Together, they're worth 120 experience points. Welcome, sirs, and thank you for joining us today. Please ignore the glowing enchanted sword.
Puny human!
Thank you for having us.
Gentlemen, you've stalwartly come forth to express vexation at what you decry as the prestidigitatory, unwarranted, salacious denigration of your genus by bourgeois auteurs and content creators in media generated primarily by and for the more Homo sapien and mammalian sentient species. You're here to claim that humans are talking shit against orcs.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't land on Minas Tirith. Minas Tirith land on us.
Mr. Spike Scrotum, I understand you object to the way you're depicted as ravenous, bloodthirsty cannibals.
That's correct. You see, those kinds of lies all the time in books, film, and D&D, and it needs to stop!
Although, the platoon did eat our old company captain, Brack Rotneeples, after we mutinied and killed him. But he had it coming.
Oh, yeah. And he was delicious. We marinated him in buffalo sauce.
I didn't eat any of Brack, but then I'm a vegan.
Barua?
I'm a vegan.
How the hell can you be an orc vegan?
I just don't want to eat anything that was once alive.
But wait, didn't you eat those hobbits with us?
I did, but hobbits don't count.
And you don't find anything morally wrong or grotesque about killing and eating another creature that could have had a conversation with you?
It's an orc thing. You wouldn't understand.
So, Zignar Snotball, may I call you Ziggy? Tell me a bit about why you're here.
Aren't we here to rape and pillage in the service of some evil overlord?
No, you're here to tell the audience why fantasy films, games, and books, stereotypical depictions of orcs and similar creatures, are racist and inaccurate.
All right. They got us all wrong. We take job for Saruman. He turns out to be a douchebag, and we get blamed. We were just contractors doing our best. But that's the orthanks we get.
Indeed. We are always shown to be unrefined savages. And, okay, some orc tribes have been known to enjoy Dane Cook or Carlos Mencia's stand-up. But not all orcs are that uncivilized. And as a race, we shouldn't always be portrayed as such. We deserve more respect! William Shakespeare gave even the foul Caliban some aspects of nobility in Hamlet.
Caliban was in The Tempest, not Hamlet.
Whatever. The racist, genre-based bigotry must stop. The way Grand Wizard Tolkien describes us is just awful.
Yeah, his lies are destroying good Snotball family name.
Same goes for Terry Brooks and Robert Jordan.
And Michael Crackerbowl.
And the biggest hater of them all. That's P.G. Holyfield. Oh, and don't even get me started about Margaret White's and Tracy Honkman and their Crackerlance books.
Were there orcs in the Dragonlance books? I thought their villainous armies and henchmen were all of the Draconian race.
Draconians? Oh yeah, those guys are jerks.
Although we still don't have it as bad as the dwarves, the red-bearded stepchildren of the fantasy races. I'd want my people to hide underground too if I was nothing more than comic relief for the humans and elven races. Dwarves are just the Uncle Tom Bombadils of the fantasy world.
It like what great orc philosopher Earwax Stinkclaw once said. The meat from a fresh kill will still get maggots if you monogram it and use it as a handkerchief.
But hey, I've got a question for you, Mr. Interviewer Man. What's with all you other races getting all swoony over the elves? They aren't that pretty.
Yeah. Is it because they make those presents for Santa Claus? And those delicious Keebler cookies?
How dare you vile, disgusting orcs say bad things about the beautiful angelic elves. Take it back!
Those effeminate punces? Fine. Love them if you want. And when you talk about half-orcs, why is the assumption always that the human mother was unwilling? Lots of girls out there go for the bad boys. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about. Where there's a whip, there's a way.
Right. Or is the insinuation that orc women aren't hot enough? That no male of any other species would ever be attracted or even desperate enough to sleep with one?
I don't think I've ever seen an orc woman.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen one either.
I'm actually a gay, black, Jewish orc, so I get quadruple the prejudice. But I've had sex with many, many orcs, and I'll tell you, if there are orc women, I've never felt any difference.
Hold on, let me check something inside my armor. Holy crap, you guys! I'm a woman!
And this concludes our discussion about stereotypical depictions of orcs in fantasy media. I'd like to thank my guests, Zignar Snotball and Gakko Spike Scrotum Onassis, for talking with me today, and at least so far, for not killing me and eating me.
I wouldn't want to eat you anyway.
Right. Join us next time when guests Elithetha Lathrielathoth, Riverstream Brook Cloud Rainmist, and Danny DeVito explain why the elves are, in fact, better than the rest of us. Good night.
Hey, this is Dubshack from the Farpoint Recap, and you're listening to Jack Mangan's Deadpan. Deadpan is the motherfucking way. And I'm not just saying that because I have an unhealthy obsession with Jack Mangan. Or his rock-hard abs of steel.
And a bath sponge for the guest room. I tend to put in a new bath sponge and body wash when I know guests are coming, and I have just been informed my mother's coming in early October. So I have to set up the guest bathroom again, make sure it's all clean and wonderful. Coffee can go in this cupboard here. Crushed tomatoes and other such things for chili. And you hear lovely plastic bag sounds. I'm sure that makes good radio play. Napkins. Oh, toothpaste and toothbrush. My toothbrush was acting rather silly. It was getting old. Cough medicine. I don't expect it to work. I still have a lingering cough from Arizona. But, you know, there it is. Actually, this one's allergy medicine, but I'm trying everything. But like I said, I bet you pennies none of it'll work. As I cough in your ears. Oh, I have some Stewart's pot. Clip. punk. Our Friday night gaming group comes over, and I always buy them some Stewart's Pot because, I don't know, because nothing for the best for my friends. So I bought 3 different flavors. They used to make a lime, and they might still make it, but they don't sell it at my local store anymore, which is too bad. I really like the lime. And I got root beer, orange, and cream soda, because that's what they sell at my local store. And what else is here? Garbage bags. Oh, and paper lunch bags, so my hubby can pack a lunch. He doesn't have a lunchbox. He likes to use paper bags, because then he can throw them in the freezer for the Lean Cuisines I bought. He likes his Lean Cuisines for lunch. They microwave nicely. I don't think he needs them as far as Lean Cuisines. It's just, like I said, they microwave nicely. Oh, and some garlic cheese bread. That'll go downstairs.
Hey, Jack, it's Used Hair from Orlando. Just wondering if you need a new AKA and under Huey Lewis. You said in Deadpan 144 with Duel of the Fates that none of the characters you would not take whether or not a character had a supporter into consideration as to whether or not they would win the Duel of the Fates. Yet, in episode 146, now you're claiming that Jessica Rabbit didn't win simply because she didn't have any supporters, and you claim that none of the characters who have no supporters are going to win in Duel of the Fates. So tell me, Huey Lewis, why did you lie to that reporter? Tell me, Huey. Tell me.
Hey, it's time for Duel of the Fates. That's the game where we take 2 characters from some kind of other media, and we pit them head-to-head in 5 silly categories, and whoever wins the most categories is the winner. And it happens to be in a tournament format, so the winner will move on. All right, enough with the music. All right, in this battle... No, it's not Otto from A Fish Called Wanda.
Don't call me stupid.
And it's not Horseshack the Sweat Hog. It's Otto the Repo Man versus Rorschach the Minuteman from Watchmen. Man. The first category is, who is a more iconic character? Otto would be a shoo-in if the category was, who's more ironic? These guys are both 80s fringe appeal, like subgenius cults. If Watchmen was just a movie, in spite of Jackie Earle's brilliant performance, this character would be largely forgotten in a few years. It's not just a movie, however. It's the most important graphic novel of all time. Released in 1986-87, ranked in Time Magazine's top 100 novels of all time. Repo Man is a loved or hated cult 1984 movie. Time will tell. Rorschach's icon beats Otto's and then throws it down an elevator shaft. Who'd win in a fight? Well, let's be clear. Horseshack the Sweat Hog would get torn to shreds in a fight with Otto, or with the other Otto.
You are the Bulgarian, you fuck! Now apologize!
Or with Rorschach. Otto's not much for a fight, however, while Rorschach... is. Mano y mano, straight fisticuffs. I think this guy is unmatched. Bring on Batman, Captain America, Spider-Man, midget imprisoned crime lords, wise-ass LA punks, old ladies in Pathmark. They're going down. Rorschach wins the fight in grisly fashion, using excessive force.
Love, prowess.
Rorschach is most definitely not the Love Shack. Not even the Dub Shack. Nor is he Shaquille O'Neal. Considering his abusive hooker mom, I think it's safe to say that Walter Kovacs has some, issues with the opposite sex. Deep-seated female psychosis plus homophobia equals sexually frustrated man. Now we know why he wears that trench coat. Otto, on the other hand, gets 2 different cuties in one movie, even if they both kind of screw him over. Never mind that his real-life brother spent lots of time with Heidi Fleiss. I choose Otto.
Thank you, like butter. For the rotating category, who would win if these guys were battling fighter game characters? I think down, left, high punch is the move combo to make Rorschach melt his opponent's face with deep fryer oil. Up, down, A, B, A, B just makes Otto pour out his beer on the floor. Hitting the punch button over and over and over again fast for Rorschach makes him do the thousand-hand disembowel. Left, right kick causes Otto to say something pithy. I don't even want to know what Rorschach's fatality move is. Down-up punch makes Rorschach win the rotating category with a gruesome dismemberment. The intangibles category. The life of Rorschach is always intense. His career would have gone very differently if he'd run into Bud at Otto's age, instead of becoming a Minuteman. Still, I think he and Miller, you know, the repo man who drove the flying car with Otto, Tracy Walter, the guy who was in Conan, Miller, I think he and Rorschach would have been best pals. For one thing, both of them like to burn stuff. And they both probably stink in the same ways. Rorschach breaks the intangible category's fingers for the win. So Rorschach will advance, leaving a bloody smear in his wake. Sorry, Otto. Harry Dean Stanton never prepared you for this.
Okay. Okay. Disappointed!
So Rorschach advances and will meet Ming the Merciless for a picnic with flowers and chamomile tea. Next week, though, we have Bilbo versus Buzz Lightyear.
It's like butter. It's like butter, baby. It's like butter. Like the butter, baby. Not no parquet, not no margarine. Strictly butter.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan.
Hello, Pan. This is Amy Bowen, a.k.a. the Deadpan Ambassador. I am very pleased to announce that the 4th annual Deadpan Secret Santa Gift Exchange is about to begin. If you'd like to participate in the exchange by sending a gift costing $10 or less to a fellow Deadpanite and receiving one in return, please send me an email with your mailing address. My email address can be found at jackmangan.com in the comments to last week's episode, number 146, where I posted more details about the exchange. I'll be assigning recipients this Saturday, December 5th, at around 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, so get your emails in by then. Deadpan is the merrymaking way. Music provided by Doug Bolt, available at music.mevio.com.
Why, sure! Why, climb sure. Into my spoon!
Randomly selected comments from the comments page. It's more fun to say it this way. Randomly selected nipples from the nipples page. We actually had 693 when I last checked. All right, let's read them. CJ says, Kiefer Sutherland equals one of the very few blonde men in this world who could send me off, running off to my bunk. He was so frickin' hot in Lost Boys, ellipsis. Star swoon star. You know, it seems like I say that a lot when reading these comments. Justa Joe says, okay, smarmy answer out of the way, ellipsis. I've just gone through the process of putting all my iTunes audio files on an external hard drive that is hooked up to and accessed through my wireless router. If done properly, this process is a piece of cake. If done incorrectly, which is the way I did it, you'll want to use Lopan's method of traveling back in time and killing yourself in the womb. Okay. Nomad Scry says, we can pretty much agree that stress shortens lifespan, yes? And maybe lack of stress could lengthen lifespan? I know I'm reaching, but wouldn't that explain why staring at boobs would prolong life? Take away the stress of fighting against doing what comes naturally, ellipsis. Like killing people so you can eat their beef. The Energizer Bunny says, star, rattling Ditto's cage, star. The Energizer Bunny says, I agree, Joe. Gene Wilder was one of my favorites. Sorry, he was Canadian, so favorites. Lopan says, star, subs, sobs uncontrollably over everything star. And the first comment of the week was from Vanamond. He says, I think I had better start again.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence, the word and the act. While violence cloaks itself in a plethora of disguises, its favorite mantle still remains.
Jack Mangan's Deadpan Podcast. And it's a show. It's an episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. Thank you very much to everyone who's contributed stuff for this episode. And thank you, Used Hair, for pointing out my untruth. I should clarify now, since I'm a big fat liar, just like Huey fucking Lewis. I should just clarify now that more followers for a DOTF character does not necessarily guarantee a win. It just, you know, it just seemed like a better thing to do, since nobody wanted Jessica to win. Anyway. Everything is fair when you're living in a city. I do hope that you participate in the Deadpan Secret Santa that Amy Bowen does run every single year, and she does, I mean, I must thank her for doing this wonderful thing. And I would appreciate your contributions. Just share some thoughts. Share some thoughts on the Duel of the Fates. As I said, you're welcome to send brief intangibles as to reasons why one character would beat another. Next week we have Bilbo versus Buzz Lightyear. Since my mind has presumably sailed off to sea and possibly struck an iceberg somewhere, you know, talk about where it could possibly have gone. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for listening to Deadpan. Deadpan is the merrymaking way. You guys are very cool folks, and I look forward to talking to you some more and jumping into the fun and lively conversations that, like the ones we had this past week on the comments page. I'd say that it was just constantly intriguing and a good time. And one further note of import, the Deadpan M Meetup number 2 will be coming up soon in March. So it'll be here in Arizona, away from the cold, where you are. So definitely get in touch with me if you have any questions about it, and I think we should definitely make it at least as much fun as the last one. The last one was a hell of a lot of fun, so I certainly won't aim for higher than that. But let's try to at least have as much fun as we did last time. All right, I am out. Oh, and A Tribe Called Quest, please don't sue me. Just trying to share with people the awesomeness that is from the Low End Theory, which is my favorite hip-hop album of all time. Speaking of music, gonna cut things off now with something of my own from my live performance at PodCamp AZ. And if you like this stuff, you are more than welcome to come out Thursday of next week, December 10th, to the Create Live AZ event, where I will be playing instrumental, quiet, kind of accompaniment guitar, while the other creative types there do their thing. So if you're an AZ and you're available on Thursday, you're more than welcome. All right, this is a really long, tedious outro babble. You, yes, you right there with the earbuds on, you validate my existence. Good night, mush. Keyboard click.
As I come back, as I did the grunt, I had to beg your pardon. When I travel through the turn, I roll with the squadron. Rawr, rawr, like a dungeon dragon. Change a little jaws, cause your pants are sagging.
All right, some of you might actually recognize this. Maybe like one person out of the 2,600 out there will recognize this song. It's not ours.
Thousand oceans I've flown, all and cold.
returning, the echo of a poignant time. Distant faces shining, a thousand warriors I have known. Oh, and laughing as the spirits appear.
Where there's a whip, there's a way.